producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. Today we want to talk about an issue that has caused some confusion among Christian ranks and perhaps many others as well. But a book that Greg Hopkins, an Alabama attorney, has written hopefully is going to take care of some of the doubts, questions, confusions that have arisen within Christendom over A Time to Kill, which is the name of the book, A Time to Kill, Myths of Christian Pacifism. And I hope that after you've heard our discussion, you will agree that these myths are myths. They are not supported by what the Bible is actually teaching. You don't find pacifism in the Scripture. And here to talk about just that is Greg Hopkins. Thanks very much, sir.
Thank you. Larry, and good afternoon.
The subject, I guess, is not likely to be resolved by one book, however clear I think you've made your presentation, but it is certainly something that I'm glad has been done because it seems to never go away, and we have Christians talking about, sometimes it even carries over into nonviolent confrontations, just being kind of Casper Milquetoast throughout, and I think that's quite wrong. Certainly, while the apostles didn't carry arms for forcing the gospel on people, we know that some of them carried arms.
Yeah, that's true, exactly. A couple of the things that have happened is that this thread of pacifism has gone through Christianity from about the 3rd century onward. It's there that we first hear some of the so-called fathers talking about it and advocating it. But as the first Roman soldier I could find that had quit the army because he'd become a soldier and because he thought that Christ demanded pacifism was 298 A.D. And by then we know very well that there were even Christian generals at that point in the army. Some of them were underground because at that time the Emperor Diocletian was officially trying to drive Christians out of the empire, but we know that when Constantine fought Maxentius about 4 years later, there were Christians on both sides in those armies, and but it's a thread that has come through down through the ages, and a kind of schizophrenia has come in. And Larry, I kind of have to thank you because when I first started back in the late 70s. Looking at this, getting interested in firearms, some of your articles in Guns and Ammo, you mentioned from time to time scripture and so on. And so, what I wanted to do is
it's nice to know that one's writing can have an effect. I'm delighted to hear that.
Oh, exactly. It's I used to wait for the right to keep bear arms. Part of Guns and Ammo every month, and
well, that's great to hear. Thanks.
Yeah, if you're a serious Christian, then you want to follow Christ, but if you say, well, I'd like to get interested in firearms and self-protection, then you run smack up against this idea of pacifism. And you go, what does turn the other cheek mean? And live by the sword, die by the sword. Well, if you're a serious Christian, you can't say to God, well, I've got this hobby over here, God. You can have 95% of my life, but butt out as far as my guns are concerned, or whatever that might be. Our pet little beast we don't want God to have. And that, at least that far, a Christian becomes a practical atheist when he says God butt out. So I started studying back in the very early 80s this idea. And then I went to law school in 1985. Things began to come clearer. And by the time I finished law school, I had a short Bible study on it, and as time went on, I thought more and more about it, trying to resolve these questions for my own purposes. And then as time went on, I thought people need to know this, and they need to know it in an organized way. And I've been teaching the Bible to people since I was 18, so about 40 years. And so I decided to go into it. Just the fact that I'm a gun nut and a lawyer, and apply all those things together and see what came out of it. And that was A Time to Kill, the myth of Christian pacifism.
Well, we have a somewhat similar path on that. I had been heading up Gun Owners of America for a little while, and it occurred to me that I'd better make sure what I'm doing squares with Scripture. And I did an investigation which ended up being entitled something like What the Bible Says About Gun Control, and it's a fact sheet up on our website at gunowners.org. I think we finally finished tweaking it around 1999. So you can find it there online, but I think your treatise is extremely thorough and should equip anybody who wants to do a Sunday school class or just needs to be able to handle objections that are coming from Christian friends who think, boy, you're such a nice guy. Why do you believe that?
Yes, one of the things that we've been fooled about is by this passive restraint. Jesus was meek, and he even says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But that Greek word that he uses is a word that connotes a highly trained hunting dog or a highly trained war horse that is under its master's control to the point that it can spring into battle if it needs to at the master's command. It'll obey every command of the master. Jesus was not weak. He was meek. But when he goes into the temple and he sees the shenanigans that were going on there, he sat down and he made a weapon. He made a rope of cords of his own cat of nine tails, and he went after the people that were defiling his father's house. And he actually used physical force, and that weapon and his message was tailored to both the sinners he was trying to get the message to and to the audience that was watching the whole thing, including the Gentiles. See, this was in the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, and so this was where Gentiles were allowed to enter and see what the Jews were doing. Well, they could see all the fraud that was going on. And so they also saw how Jesus remedied the fraud. So we needn't be retiring or shy about the fact that God has not only allowed us in his work from Genesis to Revelation to defend ourselves and other people, but he's commanded us to.
So Jim and Tammy Baker aren't the first time the church has been afflicted by corruption within.
everybody's got an opinion about Scripture, and opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one.
I don't think that the fact that there are people who have gone off the rails doesn't disprove the fact that the rails were working until they went off the rails.
Right. Exactly. And I talk a little bit about this. I was trained as a historian. I was a history major, and this kind of stuff fascinates me. And in my book, I do a brief history of what happened to the idea of pacifism in the church. But you see, the church would have never survived if it hadn't fought the barbarian invasions that closed down the Roman Empire and so on, and fought against Islam when Islam came along. There, and so you have to look at the word And you start to see that at least in many, many various situations, that affirmative defenses are allowed by Scripture. One of the first ones that I point out is Abraham in chapter 14 of Genesis, when his nephew Lot was captured.
Let's come back to Lot, pick up when we get back. We're heading into our break. We're talking with Greg Hopkins, an attorney who's written a book, A Time to Kill. It's not legal advice, but it certainly answers some Christian questions.
Ready Supply Foods sells more food for your money than any other company, and we can prove it. We've gathered nutritional facts from our competitors' own websites and divided them by price to show you how much they sell per dollar. In an emergency, calories mean survival. Ready Supply Foods sells 245 calories per dollar, where the others average only 155. That's 58% more for your money. We're the new leader in value and quality. See the comparisons at ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
We've all heard the news stories. Another shooting. And they're getting worse. That's why Infidel Body Armor introduces Infidel Fridays. Exclusive 24-hour insider deals to save you money and possibly save your life. Make it a favorite when you log on to InfidelBodyArmor.com. Then be sure to visit each and every Infidel Friday to get special insider pricing, but for 24 hours only. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried the vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my 2 workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
thanks for being with us. Talking today with Greg Hopkins. He's an attorney who has written a book, A Time to Kill: Myths of Christian Pacifism. And I think it's probably a fairly widespread notion throughout Christendom. Not everybody is a hardcore, consistent pacifism, but I think many more really have some doubts. And one of the things that you discuss, in, at least in passing in the book, and certainly has occurred to me from time to time, is that these are not issues that should be going about in our mind. We shouldn't be, but on the other hand, this way, but at the time that somebody's trying to kill us, we either know what we're going to do or we don't, and we've got to have thought that out some time before. So maybe we can return to where you were heading with this discussion of the Scriptures' treatment of self-defense, of not letting the bad guy prevail.
Right. There, we have an example in Genesis chapter 14 of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, being kidnapped by invading armies, the four kings from over around Babylon. And interesting that Abraham gets together. He has 318, it says, armed and trained men. So, you see, Jesus said, you know, we're supposed to be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. We're not supposed to be ridiculous and simply starry-eyed about the world. We're supposed to have a realistic view of what goes on. And bad things do happen, good people and bad people and so on, and we need to be prepared for those. Abraham, the father of faith, was prepared with his 318 trained men and his neighbors. He took them, chased these kings about 120 miles, and made a surprise attack at night, recovered all the prisoners and all the booty, and then he chased them for about a day and a half, 2 days, and slaughtered them. To make sure that anybody that got away said, "No, sir, we're not going back where those mean Hebrews are anymore." And he comes back, again, I said, this is the father of the faithful. He comes back with basically the blood fresh on his hands. And he has killed the kidnappers. He's rescued the captives. And he comes to Salem, which is later Jerusalem, and Melchizedek meets him. And Melchizedek is acknowledged by everyone in the area as God's representative on earth. Now, here is a man that, according to the pacifists, Abraham has just done something very uncharacteristic, supposedly, to what a godly person would do. And yet, God's representative comes out and blesses him and says, "You are the favorite of God." And Abraham gives him a tenth of all the spoil as the representative of God.
You know, you kind of deal with it, but it just occurred to me that we could formulate what Abraham did as using violence to keep the evil from using violence and prevailing by that violence. If we do nothing, we become silent, tacit accomplices of evil.
Exactly. It goes back to Edmund Burke's famous saying that, you know, that all that was necessary for the triumph of the evil is that good men do nothing. And, of course, then we have Pastor Niemöller who says, well, yeah, I didn't speak up when they came for the communists. I didn't speak up when they came for the trade unions or the Jews, and then no one was left to speak up when they came for me. And that is what will happen to us if we simply say, well, I live in a safe neighborhood and we've got a low crime rate. That doesn't work. And Abraham's actions actually mirror the self-defense statutes of my state and many other states. If I'm out walking with, say, my preacher and his wife, and all of a sudden a van opens in the parking lot and yanks his wife in, our statute says that I can kill anyone that is participating in the kidnapping up until they voluntarily release the kidnappee. And so our modern laws reflect exactly what Abraham did and what God told Abraham was completely justified. It's interesting to note, too, that in the very next chapter, after Abraham's done all this, God finalizes his covenant with Abraham. So what Abraham did obviously did not make him in any way
Or to put it another way, he didn't get disinherited.
Excellent. Yes. That's true, yeah.
God consummated the will in an amazing fashion, gave Abraham an inheritance for the centuries, and hardly a punishment for defending Lot and his hapless colleagues.
Right, exactly. And there's even in Proverbs, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, he says, if you're slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. In other words, if you don't help other people when you need help, it's not going to be there for you. And then he says in verse 11, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, oh, see, we did not know this. Does not he who considers it and weighs the hearts, and does he not know who keeps your soul, and will he not render to a man according to his work?
You know, among other episodes in our history, that particular passage you just cited would refer to the Germans who lived in various of the death camp towns and said, I knew nothing. I did not know. That's what all that smoke was about.
Yes, and of course the Americans went and grabbed everybody in town and says, come over here, you're going to see this. And many Germans, a lot of the officials actually went home and committed suicide after doing it because they knew. They, you know, they, oh, it's a tannery. That's where bad smell comes from. They knew what was going on.
At a minimum, they could have fled town knowing that opposition might have been quite risky, but they did nothing.
Nothing, yes. And God says, you just can't stand by and do nothing. That was something in my research that I found in Leviticus 19:16. It says in the second half of the verse, you shall not stand upon the blood of your neighbor or stand by the blood of your neighbor. I said, what in the world does that mean? So I piped down to the local synagogue, and I said, do you have a Torah that's translated directly into English? Yes. And as I point out in the book, it says, you shall not stand by and watch your neighbor's blood be shed. And then the Mishnaic commentary to it says, oh, the rabbis have held since forever that this means if your neighbor's drowning, try to help him out. If his ox is in the ditch, help him. If his son is being attacked or he's being robbed, get in there and help. This is what do unto others is all about.
And now those situations include possible harm or death to the rescuer. So that
exactly.
is clearly a very strong situation that's being dealt with.
Exactly. And it, well, look what Moses had to weigh the fact when he saved the Hebrew. He had to weigh the fact that he would be in trouble for hurting or killing the Egyptian. But as I postulate in the book, I say that whatever the assault was that the Egyptian was doing, it was something that would have caused probably permanent maiming injury, if not death. And most state statutes allow deadly force to be used where permanent maiming injury or death is imminent.
Okay, well, let's pick up there. When we get back, we're talking to Greg Hopkins about...
A revolution in body protection has arrived only at FortressRevivalLLC.com. Introducing the revolutionary patented Level 3 Bulletproof Vest. 100% Kevlar, 100% American-made. Concealable, fully adjustable, and the lowest price on the market. Adult size normally $289.99, now just $250. Kid size normally $239.99, now just $200. Get affordable protection with a Level 3A Bulletproof Vest from FortressRevivalLLC.com. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 31:3.
We've all heard the news stories. Another shooting. And they're getting worse. That's why Infidel Body Armor introduces Infidel Fridays. Exclusive 24-hour insider deals to save you money and possibly save your life. Make it a favorite when you log on to InfidelBodyArmor.com. Then be sure to visit each and every Infidel Friday to get special insider pricing, but for 24 hours only. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Many experts are predicting that food prices will surge this year due to the severe drought in California. 30dayfoodsupply.com has pre-purchased a large supply of ingredients, so we can continue to sell our 30-day food supply for only $99, and there's no limit to the number of boxes you can purchase. Our vegetarian meals are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, and they're packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar bags. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying directly from the producers in Oregon, and then pass the savings on to you. Call 800-700-2184. And remember, only $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit the website 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 800-700-2184. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com at 800-700-2184. 800-700-2184 for 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
In his book, A Time to Chill, The Myths of Christian Pacifism, that's one thing that did get killed in the book, I think. Greg Hopkins goes through a lot of scripture to show that the scripture is not a comfortable place for pacifists. One has to invent things that are simply not there. And, Greg, you spent a fair amount of time in the book showing that Christian pacifism is not based on any biblical doctrines, any passages, but they make an attempt with 2-3 passages. Why don't you show the outcome of trying to base their pacifism on those parts of Scripture?
Well, the two main passages that are used are from Jesus, and we like to think that Jesus was a pacifist. And but the first thing we should ask, people always say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, I'd give the example, well, if he saw someone drowning, well, he could just walk across the lake and pull them out, or he could fly over, or he could part the water and make it dry land. Jesus never actually had to experience self-defense, because the Bible very clearly says he was protected and his disciples all the way through. Look at John 6, chapter 17. They were protected all the way through until Jesus decided it was time for him to make his sacrifice. So he never needed to deal with self-defense, just as he could heal someone by speaking a word, whereas he has given us the ability and technology to have doctors and surgery and so on like that. That's how we deal with things. We say, well, how would Jesus heal this man with a broken leg? So we have to put a splint on like a Boy Scout would and get the guy to a hospital. And so when we talk about this and we come to turn the other cheek, well, you have to read the Bible just like when you read law in context. You have to read everything there is about a scripture before you decide what it says, and especially the verses before it and after it. And so in the sermon, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount and begins talking about everyday relationships in Matthew 5:20. And if you start in 5:20 and go down to 38, where live by the sword, die by the sword, is you see that he's talking about creating relationships or repairing broken relationships. And so you get down there and you see that it has to do in context with the witness that you're giving to other people, to someone who knows you and you know them. They might be an acquaintance, a church member, a coworker, a neighbor, anyone like that. And there's probably other people watching. And so Jesus told us to turn the other cheek. And he doesn't tell us to turn the other cheek to a deadly weapon. What he says is, if a man slaps you on the right cheek, well, Larry, if I slap you on the right cheek, I've got to use my left hand. And any scholar knows that for thousands of years before Jesus and since then, in the Middle East, the left hand is the one you wipe your rear end with, okay? So it's very clear that that slap is not meant to be a deadly attack or even the precursor of it. It is meant to be a public insult, whether it's a sharp cutting remark or whatever it is, and therefore we're supposed to turn from that and be the bigger person. Practically, I ask pacifists, well, when am I supposed to turn the other cheek if a guy comes into McDonald's where I am with my family, shouts Allahu Akbar, and then shoots me in the chest with an AK-47? Am I supposed to turn the other cheek after the first bullet, or when can I start defending myself? Is it?
Right. Frankly, I think some of them would think it more noble to just take a bullet and wish their family well.
Well, but you see, there's a subtle arrogance there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because has not Jesus told us to go out and his last direction to disciples was go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and teaching them whatever I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. Okay, so it's a baptizing as well. So teach, baptize, teach. That's our mission. And so I'm going to say, well, I'm going to be very pious here, and I'm going to give my life, but I've just cut off all the good I may do in my life. I don't know who else this man's going to slaughter after I'm gone. And I have, and maybe me and my family are all Christians, but is everyone in that McDonald's? Do they know Jesus? And where are their souls going to reside for eternity if I let this maniac go on and do what he wants to do? And how is that a witness?
And you raised another collateral point that I thought was is interesting, and it bears on this. So if we're just going to rely on the police, are we going to hope that all the police are pagans and don't have to go through this kind of soul searching when they have to nail somebody to stop a crime from being committed?
Yeah, there's a hypocrisy there. I'll let the policeman destroy his soul, killing the bad guy, to save me, and I'll go out and survive my life doing wonderful things for God. But those police officers, they just have to take their chance with God. There is a real hypocrisy there. And I'm not saying all pacifists are hypocrites, or it's just that there is an innate unsung hypocrisy to the way they do. Now, many pacifists have been very brave over the years. The Quakers, who were anti-slavery in America, Mennonites and other people of that type who volunteered for the starvation studies during World War II, the people who became medics and were conscientious objectors, those are obviously brave people, and they're living out their convictions. But if everybody was a pacifist, then if there are not some brave men that are willing to hold the line, from the people who would come and destroy us, then very soon, if everybody's a pacifist, there's not going to be any pacifism around to defend.
Maybe that occurred to Sergeant York, because wasn't he a pacifist until
a certain moment? As a matter of fact, one of the things my editor gave a copy of the book when we first published to his minister, and the minister came to him 2 weeks later and said, "Ed, this book has challenged my views more than any other Christian book has on a particular subject." And he finished it about a month later, went to my editor and said, "I want to tell you something that I haven't told you. I was a registered conscientious objector during Vietnam." He says, "After reading A Time to Kill, I am no longer a pacifist." And a month later, Larry, he went out and bought himself a pistol and a shotgun.
Well, he was very consistent, and that takes an extraordinary amount of guts to do something like that.
It does. But think of all the people, the Jews and the Christians out there right now, who are being led down a pathway of pacifism and anti-gun ideas by their ministers and their rabbis, who themselves have been mistaught. And it becomes very scary, because they think that the church is some kind of sacred space, that evil will never dare go there. And we know very well that evil does go there.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
it's occurred to me that if we were to support the idea of foreign aid, it perhaps ought to consist mainly of giving to the oppressed AK-47s and the ammunition to feed them, and perhaps some special forces operators to show them how to do it. That would probably do more to staunch tyranny in this world and make it easier to preach the gospel than a lot of other things I can think of.
Well, of course, that was the original mission of the Green Berets, and their motto, De Oppresso Liber, to liberate the oppressed. It was go in as advisors and teach people how to defend themselves. In Mexico, for instance, the auto defenses right now are against corrupt drug lords and a corrupt government. And
fabulous movement, actually. Yes.
Yeah, they're being slaughtered by thousands down there.
And I'd love to find an English-speaking Mexican from Michoacan to give us a report on that, because the people themselves have done some pretty marvelous things. Going to be back and talk some more with Greg Hopkins about his book, A Time to Kill, The Myth of Christian...
A revolution in body protection has arrived, only at FortressSurvivalLLC.com. Introducing the revolutionary patented Level 3 bulletproof vest. 100% Kevlar, 100% American made. Concealable, fully adjustable, and the lowest price on the market. Adult size normally $289.99, now just $250. Kid size normally $239.99, now just $200. Get affordable protection with a Level 3A bulletproof vest from FortressSurvivalLLC.com. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 31:3.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
No way. Is that a real bullet necklace?
No, it's a 9mm bullet necklace with matching earrings, you'll notice.
Those are awesome. Where'd you get them?
Dave found them at PatriotNecklace.com.
Wow.
They have a variety of calibers and necklaces and earrings and keychains.
PatriotNecklace.com?
PatriotNecklace.com.
Your choice of caliber bullet includes a rugged American-made stainless steel dog tag chain. A percentage of every sale goes to military and service-related charities. And get a discount by entering GCN at checkout. Show your patriotism and support our troops with a bullet necklace from PatriotNecklace.com.
So I found out the other day that at guns80.com, a lot of people don't get the Ghost AR-15 rifle kits because they're afraid that they won't be able to do the machining work required to drill out and make ready the lower. Well, listen, guys, gals, I am not that good of a machinist, I promise you. But I was able to take a drill press with an XY table and knock this out in about 45 minutes, and in all honesty, mine looks really good. Go get yours. Don't be afraid. It's easy. Guns80.com. Go to guns80.com now.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Been talking today with Greg Hopkins, an attorney. He's written a book called A Time to Kill. And it is basically oriented to Christians, although I think anybody could get an awful lot out of reading this book. The subtitle is The Myth of Christian Pacifism. There are Christians who think it's biblical to be pacifists, and I think A Time to Kill will disabuse them of that, and hopefully, as the pacifist friend that you were talking about toward the end of our last segment, Greg, if a Christian pacifist is willing to be challenged by A Time to Kill, Lord willing, he'll have the same reaction that that Christian friend of yours had. His pacifism ended sometime after finishing reading the book, and to show that he was not just a hearer of the word, but a doer, he went out and bought a gun. Now, that's what I call a complete conversion.
Yes, that's true. Larry, there's another thing there, and you mentioned it earlier on, is the idea of the hesitation that many Christians would experience if they had an emergency, if a guy jumps out of an alley, and that's why I follow on to turn the other cheek with the idea of go the second mile. It was the law was that a Roman soldier could make a colonial carry his pack for a mile, and it didn't matter how happy the Jew acted to carry it. As soon as he hit the mile marker, he could drop the pack and run. It was only when he was no longer under the compulsion of the Lord, of the law, and the Roman sword, that he could actually witness to the Roman and show that he really cared about him by going the second mile. So if a person comes into my bank and I'm a teller there and says, give me your dough, and I help throw him my car keys because Jesus says, I'm supposed to give you my coat too. Here's my jacket and here's my car keys and here's my wallet. And by the way, my teenage daughter is home right now and she'll be happy in the name of the Lord. Do anything you want to while if you're not satisfied, just clearing out my house. Is that what Jesus wants us to do?
And I hasten to add that you didn't find any more biblical warrant for that point of view than I have.
Right. And there, but if I hospitalize the guy or if I put him in jail, then, and which, by the way, 96% of the time that a citizen or a cop pulls a gun, we don't have to shoot, then I have an obligation to go and witness to it. Of course, just like as I witnessed to my clients when I was a criminal defense lawyer. And
Let me point out that Christians actually have done just that. A fellow that's been on this microphone before, Charles van Wyk of South Africa, was at a church one night when some murderers jumped in, shot the place up, killed a bunch of people, and Charles wounded one of them because he wasn't there helpless, and the guy eventually turned himself in at a hospital. Sometime later, Charles went and visited with the guy and presented the gospel to him. Now, the latest I've heard, the guy's still an unbeliever, but he acknowledges, and he, in fact, it was at a dinner that these terrorists were having, their association, the African National Congress, actually was a more radical adjunct of that group. And he said, well, first, he was introducing Charles. Charles is nothing except 100% guts and spine. Here he is in front of a bunch of people that out on the street would try to kill him. And so he's getting ready to speak. He's being introduced by a guy that he defended himself against. He says, yes, I want to tell you that Charles first gave me a bullet, and then he came and gave me a Bible.
I have heard that story. That's great.
Charles went and visited the guy in jail. The guy's still an unbeliever, but I think his attitude toward Christians has certainly been changed somewhat by Charles' very tangible behavior.
So. And we should support prison ministries and so on. Most people don't know that many famous criminals have been converted in jail. Some jail conversions are false, but all we can do is present the word. The other thing that I wanted to finish with was live by the sword, die by the sword. You have to read all the accounts of the Last Supper up to the Garden of Gethsemane to get this straight, but very quickly. Jesus told them, I'm going away. Therefore, you're going to need swords after I leave.
No more miracles are going to be available on call.
Right, right. And so when Jesus, or when Peter pulled the sword in the garden, Jesus was supposed to go as an unprotesting sacrifice, and he was getting in the way of that, and Jesus didn't want to melee or things like that. But I've got just a few reasons why he did that very quickly.
And I would submit, by the way, that Peter had no idea whatsoever that one man's blood was going to pay for the sin of everybody.
Right.
Who would have thought of that?
They didn't get it. But even the disciples, after 3.5 years, they were slow. But probably we would have been too.
I wouldn't want to stand in judgment on that one.
So the question is, did Jesus just set these guys up? You know, did he? So they could take a fall. He didn't play that game. You know, we don't see him ever playing that game. He told them the swords were for later, after he was gone. And the first thing you want to get across is don't resist legitimate authority by force. Those who illegally resist deserve death. One of the things that constantly, in our Alabama statute, many states, says you can resist an illegal arrest. Okay, yeah, try to convince that of the cop that his arrest is illegal, and he's just going to call more cops until they get you dogpiled, and all of us tell our clients, don't ever resist an illegal arrest. We'll embarrass them in court later. But Jesus is saying, don't resist legitimate authority with force. Of course, there's limits to that in the Bible as well. It's when the force becomes illegitimate and so on. But the second thing is the gospel is not defended by force. It's defended by love. Jesus would not have endorsed the Crusades, you know, and like you said, you know, beat them over the head with a Bible or put a gun to their head to make them convert. That is not Jesus. It's by love, just like this gentleman that the South Africa dealt with. And the third is Jesus knew when Peter pulled his sword that the posse there would assume all the disciples were armed and would kind of leave them alone. So it may have been that Jesus, of course, he knew what his disciples were doing, and he was only caught by surprise, I think, on one occasion, and that's Roman centurion's fate. But he would know that they would let him escape. Because the posse, when Jesus said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, I'm the one you're seeking," the posse fell down on their faces. They thought they were going to get hit by lightning or something, and there's biblical precedence for that.
And if we circle back to that centurion, this was the guy that, as you remark in the book, Christ found had more faith than anyone in Israel, meaning the Jews that should have known who Jesus was did not have a clue. And meanwhile, this ruler who had no legitimate reason to be a ruler in Israel, he conquered by force, this was a guy who actually understood who Christ was and worshipped him.
Right. And if Jesus is a pacifist, why didn't he tell this guy to quit the army?
Yes. Throw your sword away. Don't just put it in its place.
Right. John the Baptist never told any of the soldiers came to him. He said, be content with your pay and don't rob people. And Cornelius, the first Gentile convert to Christianity, what did Peter told him in preaching the gospel? And not one word of the gospel was, we've got to be a pacifist and you've got to quit the army, Cornelius.
And, of course, Cornelius was another soldier. So interesting that the army supplied some of the first ranks to Gentiles, non-Jews, becoming Christians. Not unlike the army today, really.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things that's interesting is Roman society, and almost all historians agree with this, is that Roman society had basically repudiated their gods, and they were actually looking for some kind of real faith. And it was these soldiers that seemed to grasp it first. Just as in our own society, when faith seems to be lacking and retreating in the general population, our soldiers seem to, like you say, they seem to be grasping it more perceptive about those kind of things.
Maybe it's because when we have to deal with the reality of our own mortality, it's easier to come to grips with the idea it sure would be kind of cool if there were a God. Greg Hopkins, thank you so much for writing A Time to Kill, The Myth of Christian Pacifism. Hopefully it's going to equip an awful lot of Christians to go and do battle. And for those who are curious and are not Christians, who want to see what Christians ought to believe, it's right here in A Time to Kill.
Most of us already know that taking a fish oil supplement to boost omega-3s is a good idea. But did you know that about 60% of Americans are actually deficient in omega-3s? Did you know that most fish oil products contain only about 25% omega-3s and the remaining 75% is undesirable fish fat? Heck, did you know that more than 90% of fish oil supplements sold in the USA are not even made here? If you want to boost your omega-3s using the finest American-made fish oil, check out Nutrigold Fish Oil Supplements on www.fishoil.best. Nutrigold fish oils are independently 5-star certified and guaranteed to be exceptionally pure. That means no more fish burps. Best of all, just one Nutrigold fish oil capsule contains more omega-3s than 4 standard fish oil capsules. Go to www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497 and use promo code BESTFISHOIL to get a free 1-month supply. That's www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America, from where you shop to the doctors you visit and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to DisappearingDollar.com. Again, that's DisappearingDollar.com.